Y'all know me. Some of you have been with us the whole 35 years we've been going. And we just celebrated this past June, last month, our 35th church anniversary. So we praise God for that. Amen. And he has been faithful. He has been faithful. Praise God. When it says in 1 Corinthians that he can take nothing and make something out of it, we are living proof of that. Praise God. He took nothing and made something out of it. And we cannot help but give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Glory to God. All righty. I want you to turn in your Bibles once again to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, I started this last week, and I didn't quite finish up. Excuse me. I didn't quite finish my message last week. There's some other things that I want to share with you. So we'll start at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And I have my New King James Bible here. And I'll begin reading at verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" But now let's focus on verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." Are you still here? Did you grab that? All right, let me read verse 10 to you again. And they also have it on the screen here. It says, and it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." And so my subject is having the right heart. Having the right heart. Folks, we need to have a right heart when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Everything we do for God, our heart need to be in it. And we need to do it in sincerity. Glory be to God. So I think David understood this. Turn in your Bibles to the 139th Psalm. The 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. And I'll just read two verses from this chapter. But David is saying, "Search me," this is verse 23, "search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is that your heart today?
Yeah.
Glory to God. I shared with you last week. And I'll repeat this again. This past May, I turned 71 years old. Yeah, praise God. God is so good. I turned 71 years old this past May. And I realized that I've already lived more than half my life. Amen. Because honestly, now this is not a lack of faith. This is not a lack of faith. But I don't expect to live to be 142. Amen. Knowing what I know, I don't think I want to live to be 142. Knowing what I know, knowing who I serve, knowing where I'm going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, being 71 years of age, I understand, thank God for all, you know, I thank God for all that he have allowed us to accomplish for his glory. Amen. We shared some of it with you earlier. Some of the things we did when we would, at the time we did it, I don't know of anybody else that had done it. I'm sure there were some that had did it, but we got our signs, our Christian signs, and testimony signs, and we marched through the streets of Goldsboro, North Carolina, telling people about Jesus Christ. We wasn't protesting anything. We were testifying. We were witnessing that Jesus Christ is the answer. Praise God. And so I thank God for what we have accomplished in our lives. But we have to understand that one day we will no longer have an opportunity to do anything for God in the earth. You follow what I'm saying? As we are right now. So we got to make every moment count. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Do you agree with me the days are evil? Oh, yes, they are. The days are evil. So we must make sure that we redeem the time. But what God is most interested in, God is interested in two things. Our heart condition and our attitude. See, I can stand up here and preach before you with a bad attitude. I told you this last week. I've been around a while, so I hear ministers talk, not just ministers, some ministers, thank God not all, and I hear some folk talk. And they'll say, well, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, God told me to do this, and I know it was God, but I just don't want to do it. You know, I just don't want to do this. Or God's calling me to do this, but I just don't want to do it. Well, you know what? I told you this again last week. I told you last week, and I tell you again this week. We need to make sure that our will becomes God's will. In other words, that our will line up with his will. And let me tell you, sometimes the Spirit of God's going to lead you to do some things you don't really, in the flesh, in the natural, you don't really want to do, but that's called obedience. That's called obedience. That's called following God. And I told you, I used an example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what he had to face. And naturally, come on, naturally, remember he had a flesh, blood, and bone body. When you pinch him, it would hurt. Because he became like his brethren. He took on a body. And he knew that he had to suffer. And so he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But immediately he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, that's the same attitude that we need to have. Yes, there are things in life that we dread. There are things in life that's just not comfortable. There are things in life that we wish would just happen a different way. But sometimes you just have to go straight through the fire. But God already promised us, when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not kindle upon you, and you'll come out smelling fresh. I added that. Glory to God. These times that we're living in now, what God is looking for is people that will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your will in my life, Lord. I give you my heart. I give you my heart. Use me for your glory. Hallelujah. Is anybody here but me? Remember, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, when God sent Samuel to Jesse because he'd chosen one of his sons to be king. Matter of fact, I want to go back there. We were there, but let's go back there real quick. I want you to see something. 1 Samuel 16. And then we're going to move on. And last week I read the whole thing. I won't read the whole thing this time. But I'll begin in verse 6. It says, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance.'" You see that? "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees." Somebody say amen. Remember, we went to Isaiah. We won't go there, but Isaiah chapter 55, I believe it's verse 8 and 9, where God says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, because my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." That's the reason we got to get the mind of Christ. That's the reason we got to get our minds renewed in this word. Somebody say amen. We got to get our minds renewed in this word, because God don't think the way we think. We got to take on his thoughts. We got to begin to think like he thinks. Glory to God. All right, let me read verse 7 to you again. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Glory, hallelujah. The Lord looks at the heart. And that's the reason we got to make sure that our hearts are right before God. Now, when I say our hearts are right before God, I'm not saying that you're not saved, that you're unsaved, because you can be born again and still not have the right attitude. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. See that? Well, bless the Lord anyway. See, that's the reason. You know, we need to do what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Flash that up real quick for me, brothers. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. I can turn there. Okay, here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." The original King James Version say, "Be careful for nothing." "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Come on, say it again, everything. "But in everything," by what?
Prayer.
"By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving," what? "Let your requests be made known unto God," or be made known to God. Listen, because we can be deceived. Even the prophet Samuel didn't see clearly. He thought Eliab was the one. But God says no. Now, this is the prophet. And I'm not going to go over there, but sometimes we think prophets know everything. They only know what the Holy Spirit revealed to them. Prophets have natural thoughts just like everybody else do. And they're not always in the spirit. You follow what I mean? In the spirit, when God is actually dealing with them under the prophetic anointing. But that's something else. But you have to understand, even he missed it when it came to Eliab. But God says, I hadn't chosen him. He's not my man. And now, listen. If Samuel the prophet can miss it, what makes you think you can't miss it? Sometimes reasoning get involved. Because God knows every person's heart. We need to pray about everything. It could be a business deal. You need to pray about that. Don't go by appearance. Pray about it. Seek God. Consult God. Lord, is there anything I need to know? And Bishop Thomas, I go this way so often, but I'm going this way again because it's so important. It's so important. I want to talk to my single people another again. If you're born again, you don't need to enter any type of relationship without consulting God first.
Amen.
We can't be moved by slick talk. Can't be moved by stature, muscles. A child of God need to pray about everything.
Hallelujah.
Bishop Thomas, I don't know if I ever told you this. I don't think I have. But when I was in the service, I shared it with the church last week. Every night, I'm so glad God doesn't get tired of you. I mean, I was a young airman. I was saved. I knew I was saved. Wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost at that time, but I knew I was saved. And every night before I go to bed, every night, I'd say, Lord, thank you for sending me a wife. And I remember when this brother and I didn't have girlfriends. And we used to talk about the days when God was going to send someone into our lives. Am I right? Glory to God. We wanted what God wanted. And I want to tell you, you did good. Oh, excuse me. God did good. Yes, he did. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's the way it should be. Now, see, you have to understand, we were young once too. You may not think so, but we were young at one time. I used to be a teenager. Can you believe that? When I went into the service, I saw folks getting divorced. I saw cheating. Especially when some of them was in Thailand. The husband was over in Thailand. I saw some of the mamas. And I said, Lord, I don't want this. This is not the kind of marriage I want. So I sought God. And all I knew to tell him was, Lord, send me a good wife. I always told him good. Lord, send me a good wife. We need to pray about everything. And I'll tell you this much. As a single man, I've met some pretty women in my life. But there's an old saying that, and you don't have to help me, Pat, but there's a she helped me last week. That there's an old saying that beauty is only skin deep. What about that heart? What about that heart? Do she have a heart towards God? Does he have a heart towards God? And you don't have to get in a hurry. Well, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I also want to preach to you, too. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. Oh, well, I'm glad you said that. But God was talking about a person that you're already in a relationship with, you're dating, and you already know, both of you have talked. Both of you have talked, and you've made a, listen to me, you've made a decision, we're going to be married. I love you, and you love me, and we want to spend our lives together. You're my godsend. So he's saying, if you already know that, why in the world would you want to be engaged for 2 years? Running the risk of doing something you don't have any business doing. Seven months was enough for us. From December to August, that was it. And this coming August 4th, 48 years. 48 years. 48 years. You're already there. You're already there. We behind you, but we're going to get there. Glory to God. Are you still with me? We need to pray. Seek God. You know what? I don't want anything that God doesn't want for me. If God doesn't think that person is good for me as a single person, then I don't want that person in my life. If God don't think this business deal is good for me, I want to be a part of this business deal. I need to run it by God. Get the peace of God on the inside of you. We shall be led forth with peace. And God will show you some things, will reveal some things to you, positive or not positive. I remember Brother Hagin was interested in this woman because he too was looking for a wife. He's with the Lord now. But he had an interest in this lady. And he was preaching one Sunday, and she wasn't in the service. And so while he was preaching, the Lord carried him. I don't know exactly how it happened, but carried him, his spirit, I guess, to somewhere and found this woman in the car with another man doing things she shouldn't be doing. Am I right? And he said he was back in his body, still preaching to the congregation, but he realized what God was telling him, this woman is not for you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to speak to you that way. Now, please, understand. No, I'm not saying he's going to speak to you that way, but God will lead you. Jesus said that he would send us the Holy Spirit, didn't he? And what did he say he would do? He would lead us, he would guide us, and he would even show us things to come. Let's take him at his word. But what happens too many times, we become impatient. Lord, I can't wait on you. You're too slow for me. Well, go ahead. Are you still here? Glory to God. Glory to God. I got to speed this up. Are you being blessed yet?
Amen.
Glory be to God. So no matter what it is, run it by God. Now, I just took that little side journey there, but let me get back on path real quick. I'll use myself personally. There's two reasons I want to keep a good attitude and a right heart before God. Number one is because I love Him. He gave His everything for me. Yes, He did. He gave it all for me. He gave His only begotten Son for me. Hallelujah. Whatever sacrifices I have to make, I'll just have to make them because He made the major sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for me, for all of us. So I want to please my Father. And number two, I love His creation. I love mankind. We're created in His image. We're created in His likeness. And God has called us to preach and to witness and to do good deeds for one another for His glory. Now, having said that, I also understand, now stay with me for just a few more minutes. I'm going to let you go. I understand that even if I live to be 120, 130, if I was to live that long, you still with me? If I was to live that long, it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. You follow me? It's not a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. So yes, I want God's blessings on my life while I'm here in the earth, but really I'm looking to eternity because that's where the real life, so to speak, begins. Amen. Amen? In our supernatural bodies. So, having said that, let's go quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been here, and so I'm going to run through it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is another reason that we need to be serious about the things of God, have the right heart towards the things of God. We were here last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 13. It says, and now this is when we get on the other side, at the judgment seat of Christ, all right? At the judgment seat of Christ. Now understand something. This is not the white throne judgment that it talks about in Revelation. Okay, you understand that? That's a judgment you don't want to be there. It's too late. This is the judgment seat of Christ. And now look at verse 13. It says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Everybody say, receive a reward. Listen, I am working today so that I can receive my heavenly reward. Amen. In other words, everything God's got for me, I want it. When it comes to the things of God, it's all right to be greedy. Holy greedy. If it's of God, I want it. If God's got it for me, I want it. But look at verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Didn't say he wasn't saved. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Well, it tells you right there. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. They're saved, but their works were burned up. They didn't do it with the right attitude. They didn't do it with the right heart. They chose to do their own thing. God was trying to get them to do one thing, but they wanted to do something more convenient for them. Is there another amen out here?
Amen.
So when we do that, our works are burned. Thank God. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All righty. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians now. Just flip over to 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. And I'll close with this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 9. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing under the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit. You see what he says here? And this is the same attitude that we must have. If anyone's, oh, they got the wrong scripture on there, so let me read it from my Bible. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well-pleasing to who? To who? Well-pleasing to God. Your purpose in life right now is to please God. We need to get that settled. We're here to please God. We were created for his pleasure. Verse 10, for we must all appear. Notice that word all. We'll all be there. This is the believers now, born again believers. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. And that also goes for she. Whether good or bad, look at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your conscience. Listen, listen. We don't have time to waste, brothers and sisters. I'm getting ready to conclude this. We don't have time to waste. I never, Bishop Thomas, honestly, I never thought that I would be a pastor. I never thought I'd be a pastor. Because my delivery is different from a lot of pastors. And so I was satisfied at going to church, praising God, serving, witnessing. Kathy and I used to go in back streets of Chesterfield, South Carolina on Saturday nights after our Bible study, witness, pray for people. Some would get saved. I mean, we were happy. We'd go into church on Sunday morning. We'd hear the preacher preach, and we were happy because we were getting people saved. I remember what God told me. If you don't tell them, they'll be lost. So we were getting people saved and working hard to get them in church. But I realized that God was calling me into the ministry to pastor. Little old Jim. Can you believe that? I guess God's got a sense of humor too. But now, I had a choice. I knew he was calling me. I had a choice to say, Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, you know I don't have the voice some of my brothers got. I don't have that, Lord. You know that. But yet and still, I knew he was calling me. And I'm totally convinced where God guides you, he will provide for you. And if you know it's God, you go with it. Because God's going to open every door you need. God already have a purpose. God already have a plan. And all you got to do is be obedient and follow him. Be willing. Be willing to be ridiculed. Be willing to be talked about. After all, we're not better than Jesus. They sure talked about him. They talked about it. But you got to be willing to go. And you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know it's God. This is God. I'm going with it. And whatever I have to face, that's all right. God is with me. He already promised me he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Somebody needs that this morning. Go ahead and grab a hold of that. You take that. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And like I said last week, as some of there's some folks, I don't know, they may be viewing the live stream, or you may be here in this sanctuary. But you're like David was. You're keeping the sheep. You're keeping the sheep. You feel like you're the sheep person. Well, you may be the sheep person, but God is calling you. God is calling you. I said it last week, and I repeat it again this week. God is sending somebody to get you. And when I say sheep, I'm not talking about necessarily literal sheep. It's just wherever you are. God knows where you are. God knows his calling upon your life. God knows the anointing that he's placed on your life. And he's coming to get you. But what you got to do is be patient. And continually prepare yourself. Spend time with him. God always knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. Glory, hallelujah. Examine yourself. I do it all the time. Examine myself. I check out my motives. When we built this church, I did a self check. I did a motive check. But I knew that I knew that I knew that we heard from God. Hallelujah. We had very little money. Matter of fact, early 90s, we struggled financially. We struggled. It was tough. Make a long story short, some of the church family heard me say this. I'm going to share this with y'all. Our offering practically dried up. It wasn't the people's fault. It just happened. And I quit my job. God told me to leave my job or resign my job, go into the ministry full time. I had done that. And things were tough for us in the ministry financially. And I remember one night, I was up praying by myself in the dark. My family was in bed. And I told God, so you got to have the right heart. I told God, I said, Lord, you expect me, because your word says so, to provide for my family. That's my responsibility. My wife and four children. I said, Lord, I will go back to work. I don't mind going back to work. I'm not a lazy person. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, said, keep on doing what you're doing. Now, in my mental reasoning, I kind of got like Samuel for a moment. I thought to myself, keep on doing what you're doing. What I'm doing is not working. But God said, keep on doing what you're doing. I can't tell you how it happened, but the finances began to come in. Later, we built this facility. 15 acres of land and this facility, and it's paid for. Later on, we bought an additional 9 acres of land with a building on it behind us here. It's paid for. Now, listen to me. Listen, I'm not bragging. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not bragging. I'm saying if you get your heart right, if you get your heart right and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to seek you. I want to hear your voice. I want to follow you. I want to make sure I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. Then he'll lead you. He'll lead you. If your heart is right. And finally, let me say this. I said it last week. I'm going to repeat it again. When I stand before him, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and I look at my works going through the fire, and I know you feel the same way I do, on the other side of the flames, I want them to be shining like gold, because I did the will of God, not look at a bunch of ashes, so to speak. So, Pastor, what do I do now? Just make up in your mind, Father, I'm going to follow you. Forgive me where I missed it. And from this day forward, I'm going to do your will. And I'm going to spend time with you to get to know your heart. You know, I love my wife, and I know you all you husbands love your wives. Amen?
Amen.
I thought I'd have got a better amen than that.
Amen.
Y'all wait till you get home. Your wives. I love my wife, and the reason I said that because I want her happy. Any other husbands, you want your wives
amen.
Happy.
Amen.
Yeah, you want your wives happy. Amen. You want your wives
amen.
Happy. Praise God. Amen. Look at your wife and smile if you're sitting beside her. Look at her and smile. All right. Amen. But you know what? More than pleasing my wife, I want to please God.
Amen.
I want him happy. You hear me? I want him happy because this is our time. This is our time. One day, we won't be here. And our work for God in the earth will be over. Let's make it count.
Amen.
Let's make the necessary adjustments that we need to make in our own hearts and attitude towards God and the things of God. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I usually speak to the viewing audience first, but I'm going to speak to you at the same time today.